welcome to the Badass Breastfeeding Podcast. This is Diane, your lactation consultant.
And I'm Abby, the Badass Breastfeeder. And today's episode is brought to you by Rumina Nursing Wear's Pump and Nurse Collection, all-in-one products that you can both breastfeed as well as pump hands-free in. And we'll hear more from Rumina later. But right now, Diane has our review of the week.
I do. And this comes from Hey Baby K Paso, which I love that. So, yeah. And what she says is, I feel like I'm learning again. And this is because she did title this Fifth Time Mommy and I'm Still Lost. We're all lost, honey, after I don't know how many babies. I feel like I'm learning again. Two out of my four have been exclusively breastfed. The other two were not, and they had the absolute worst acid reflux, and they were always sick. My youngest is one, and I didn't nurse him for selfish reasons. My fifth will be born this September 2019, and I'm fully determined to exclusively breastfeed him, possibly even until he's two. I've learned a lot of things by hearing your podcast. I also realized my two successful breastfeeding journeys were done by myself and could have been better with the knowledge I know now. I plan to do the breast crawl, and since this is my fifth C-section, I'm scared of falling asleep, per usual, thanks to all the medications. My OBGYN said they are allowing babies to stay with mom after in the recovery room, so hopefully my mommy senses will awaken me and keep me awake to accomplish these two things. Can you guys make a special podcast going into depth about C-sections and accomplishing the breast crawl and skin-to-skin an hour after birth? I also want to try to pump for my one-year-old, since he only nursed for 2 months. Would that be harmful to my soon-to-be breastfeeding journey that I'm trying so hard to prepare for? Since he's always sick, I want to see if I can help him have a better upcoming winter. I would be extremely happy to hear back or hear a podcast on these things. Thanks in advance. That is a wonderful suggestion.
That is a really great idea.
About the C-sections. That's fantastic, because
consider it done.
Oh yeah, we're putting it on the list
right now,
the list that we don't follow, but that we'll definitely do, because
I have a short list. Yeah, a very short list that I'm adding it to it right now.
Like, how many what is C-section rates? Like 30%, right, of mamas? Yeah. So yes, we should have done it in the past. I'm very, very, very happy to talk about that for sure. And I love that you want to give breast milk to your other child, and it will not harm anybody in any way. It will not do anything to interfere with your breast milk supply or anything for this baby. So go for it. Do it. And let us know how you do. We'd love to. And we'd love to hear from you guys. Suggestions, anything. Definitely shoot us a review, and you could be our review of the week. We could do your podcast idea, whatever it is that you have on your mind about breastfeeding.
Yeah, send us ideas. Yeah. Because I mean, we can sit around and think all day. Took us almost 2 years to figure out pump and dump from last week. So there's like all kinds of things that just, you know, when we're trying to think of topics we overlook or whatever, but it's so much better to do episodes that you guys need.
Yeah.
That you want, that you need, that you want to hear, or whatever, and just send them to us. Just send it.
Yeah.
If you leave it, put it in your review, or just email it, or send it in a message in Instagram or whatever.
Yeah. If you guys leave it to us for the next couple of years, we'll be talking about our hair.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be. We'll be sharing recipes over here. Yeah, I don't know. Right. We'll be just, you know. So
right. You don't know what you're going to get. Yeah, so we'd rather hear from you.
Yeah, it's totally a crapshoot. All right. But today, so this episode that we're going to talk about today is about your milk coming in. So I kind of like, this was something that enraged me this week. And a lot of times our episodes, and I've said this, like, it will come up, like, stuff will come up during the week, and I'm like, oh, and then I'm like, all right, we're totally doing a podcast on it. But
I can tell, because Diane will send me a text, and she's all mad about something. I just talked to this goddamn man, this person, and then we got to do an episode on this. I'm like, all right, now I know what we're doing this week.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course, with the pump and dump, I read some blog, and I'm like, I sent them a nasty email. Yeah.
I know.
So
that's right.
So this one, like, and I don't want anybody who already had their baby to look at the title of this, you know, milk coming in, and be like, all right, what does this have to do with me? Because this is really important information. I feel like this is like baseline educational stuff that I wish every mom knew before they had their baby. You know, like, this is really important stuff. And I came across this week because I had a mom whose baby was like 4 days old and was told that she had a low milk supply. And I was like, am I even hearing this right? Like, we are on day four, people, or maybe day five. So what we want to do today is talk about, like, what do we expect with milk coming in? What can delay milk? You know, what, some people, their milk doesn't come in like clockwork. What delays it? Does that mean there's a problem? You know, what should we be looking for? How do you advocate for yourself? You know, like, I work in a pediatrician's office, and when I have moms that come in on day three or four with a newborn and the baby is still losing weight, I can defend that to the pediatrician and say, her milk is just starting to come in. We need to give it another day or two and bring them back and have it wait. And the pediatrician's like, okay, if that's what you know, like, but we need to be able to give you guys this information so that you can go forward with this and defend this. Because when babies are being supplemented on day three or four, like, come on, we got to give it a half of a chance here. Like, we're not even giving it a chance to work.
No, and that's the beginning of the end for many breastfeeding relationships. I mean, that's, I've told the story before, and that's what happened to me.
Right.
That was, I had Jack, and I learned this from you doing this podcast. Because the whole time I was induced, and Jack was, like, nowhere. There was, like, no signs of him being ready to be born. Like, he was still, like, all the way up in my, like, rib cage. He was, like, no, there was no signs. And so they induced me, and the first time didn't work. And so then they did it again, and there was, like, 30 hours of, like, this horrible situation, and then he was born, and they were like, well, you know, you were induced and all that, so you're like, you just don't have any milk. So you need to supplement. And I was like, they're like, that's why he's crying, because he's hungry.
He's crying because, like, he's not in the womb anymore. That's why he's crying.
Right. And I was like, oh my God, wow, what a mess. Okay, so then I started supplementing with formula, which was that, I mean, it was so difficult to come back from that. And I would imagine that most people don't. I mean, the only reason I happened to was because I was, like, Googling a lot of things and ended up, you know, kind of learning that maybe it was the formula that was, like, you know, making it difficult for me to have, like, a good milk supply and to get him to, like, take to the breast. And I called a lactation consultant, and she walked me through it. But I mean, that's not usually what happens. Usually what happens is they sneak that formula in the beginning, and then you're just like, and then you're like, okay, well, they prefer the bottle over the breast. And then, you know, then you're pretty soon, people just stop breastfeeding, and it just doesn't work. And then you don't come back from that. It's not a small thing. This is not a small thing.
No, it's not.
It's not just like a tiny thing of like, oh, we'll just have some, you know, your milk didn't come in, and so you just supplement with formula for a little while, and then your milk will come in and everything will be fine. No.
Right.
And if you want to use formula, that's fine. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people who want to breastfeed and who are being told that, you know, that your milk isn't coming in, that something's wrong, when really there's not.
It is like, there's so many comments I want to make right now. Trying to, like, arrange them all.
Make them all.
Make
them
all. I know. I wish everybody could just, like, see inside my brain. I mean, it would be pretty crackhead.
I know. You need a pen. Do you have a pen where you can take notes? Well, you know.
Yeah, but, you know, so I'm sitting here, like, and I'm surrounded by paper because I have, like, paper and pens and stuff everywhere. But so the mom that I saw this week, like, and I'm not, it was legit, like, day five or whatever, and was told, okay, you're low milk supply. Breastfeed your baby and then supplement her with 1 to 3 ounces.
Yep. Oh my God.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is a feeding. Your baby will not breastfeed at the next feed. Like, that is ridiculous. Your newborn baby does not need 3 ounces of any kind of fluid. I don't care what it is. They do not need it.
This is why you make colostrum in the beginning.
Right.
Because this is why there's only drops coming out. It's not because you're not making enough. It's because your baby can only handle drops at a time for days.
And they're like, it is, this is kind of information you go to, you know, you go to these professionals or whatever. And this is devastating to a mother who is newly, freshly postpartum. I don't care if it's your 18th baby or if it's your first.
Yeah,
and breastfeeding was your plan. And you want to do what's right for your baby. And you are basically being told you do not have what it takes and your baby is starving.
Yeah,
and that is devastating to your confidence.
Yep.
And it's just, it's wrong. And then people go, oh, why is our postpartum depression rate so high? Well, because you just told these mothers that they can't do it. So this is awful. It is awful information. And when I first started in this field, I remember a woman that I worked with who was, she had been a La Leche leader forever. And remember, she said, she's like, if babies were meant to have milk on day 1 and 2 and 3, your supply would be there as soon as they're born. And that's true. Mm-hmm. If you are trusting your body to make this baby, which it makes a beautiful baby, then you have to trust this process. You know, you have to trust it. And day 1 and 2, we have the colostrum. Day 3, we have the colostrum. There are absolutely some situations where milk can be delayed. And that can happen. But it doesn't mean that it's your milk's not coming in. It doesn't mean you have a low milk supply. It doesn't mean that your baby is starving. It does not mean any of those things. What it means is that your body went through a pretty significant trauma. Maybe the baby is not breastfeeding well those first day or two because they went through trauma being born. And your supply is just taking its time coming in, you know. And there's things that we can do to kind of like push it along. But what we look at is like, okay, what happened at birth? Was it a long labor? Was it an induction like Abby's was? And mine too. I was induced the first time too. Was it, did you get a lot of fluid? When you get lots of fluid, that can sometimes delay the process a little bit. Was there a huge blood loss? And when I say huge, I don't mean like, you know, I mean like you had to be transfused. That kind of, you know, that kind of blood loss. Mm. That might delay things a little bit too. Primary first time C-sections, sometimes that can delay it because it is a lot of trauma, you know, to your body and your body is recovering. This is a lot. Babies that are not nursing well from the start, because we know that the baby nursing is what's stimulating your hormones to make the milk. So if your baby is not nursing well because they're sleepy, because they're just not latching well yet, that can delay things. So we want to work with that and, you know, maybe add in some pumping, which I don't usually recommend if the baby's feeding fine. But if the baby is not feeding fine, then it's important to have that stimulation. But if you, you know, you had your baby, you're discharged from the hospital, you're breastfeeding like normal, you know, like, and then you go to your pediatrician, they say, oh, they're not gaining weight yet. We need to supplement because your milk, you don't have enough milk. The baby does not, we don't expect your baby to be gaining a ton of weight on day 4 of their life.
They're, like, and they're not, they're losing weight at that point, no?
Right. And they're supposed
That's
to.
That's
normal. This is not a crisis.
Exactly.
It's normal.
That's the thing, is people will say, well, my baby's losing weight. There's a big crisis. My doctor said I need to supplement because the baby's losing weight. Okay. It's normal for your baby to lose weight in that first, what, for how long?
Usually the first couple of days, the baby will start to regain, like you will notice an actual where you can see the numbers on the scale regain within about 24 hours of your milk coming in. So if you go to your doctor or your pediatrician, you were discharged from the hospital on Tuesday, your baby's 2 days old when you discharge, you go to the doctor on Wednesday and the baby is still losing weight and you say, oh yeah, I'm just this morning when I got up, I was just starting to feel more full. Your baby is not going to register weight gain until the following day at least. That is
so the first
normal.
Week or so. For the first week or so, it's normal for your baby to be losing weight.
Yes. And we have a 10% birth weight window.
Yes. Right. Right.
Is your baby pooping and peeing? Then we don't worry. You know, like you have to look at those things, too. Is your baby pooping and peeing? Yes, they are. OK. They're getting the colostrum. They're getting what they need. Their stomach, like we have to go back to like day one of evolution. You know, like their stomach is very small. They can't hold a lot of volume. That is, you know, they're going to feed more frequently because they can't hold volume. If they're not jaundiced, they're not, you know, there is no crisis situation, which is like 98% of babies, what, we just need to let the process run its course. You know, this is normal stuff.
Yeah, I remember, so, because I remember they said, well, you were induced, so you're not making any milk yet, and whatever. And so, you were like, that's ridiculous.
It is.
And, you know, the baby and the placenta are out of the body.
Yep.
Which automatically means that your body is making colostrum.
Right.
That's like the signal. Well, probably before.
Yep, before.
But definitely now.
Yep. Yeah, and the transition's happening. Yeah. And your baby's not supposed to, the first 24 hours of your baby's life, they can legitimately, I'm not even making this number up, because I know a lot of times we do talk about people making stuff up, but this is not made up. Your baby can hold, the volume of their stomach is 1 teaspoon. That is the volume of your baby's stomach the first 24 hours of their life.
That's why you're not, that's why there's not gobs of milk.
Exactly.
And why you don't need gobs. That's why there's tiny drips coming out of this incredible substance called colostrum, which is like the most incredibly nutrient dense liquid ever. Little drops come out and your baby gets all the nourishment they need and can handle.
One of the things that I think is the problem with this, obviously, is personnel that meanwhile, I'm sure, that work with new families, whether it be in the hospitals or, you know, whatever, that do not give the right information. And you would think, like, if you are working with a new mother, if you're a labor and delivery nurse, if you're a mother baby nurse, you know, I've had a lot of moms come to me and be like, well, they said that the baby was really, really sleepy and not feeding well, so I needed a supplement and they were losing weight. And I'm like, did they make it sound like your baby is the only one to ever experience this? Because that's every baby. That's like every baby I see is sleepy and not feeding that well in the first 24 to 48 hours of their life. And they're like, well, yeah, they made it sound like there was something really wrong. I'm like, no, this is like every baby. It's like, I don't understand how you are working in a situation where you are with mothers and babies all the time and you're not seeing a pattern here. Like, this is just, there's got to be some kind of education. There's got to be some kind of like curriculum for people working with these babies. I don't understand why everybody is like, oh my God, they're losing weight. We have to,
I know,
there
needs
to do something.
I know. Right. And let's talk more about that after a word from our sponsor. Today's episode is brought to you by Rumina Nursing Wear's Pump and Nurse Collection. Are you looking for a bra or tank top you can do both breastfeeding and hands-free pumping in? Don't want to completely disrobe to put on a different pumping top? Rumina Nursing Wear's Pump and Nurse Collection has helped thousands and thousands of breastfeeders reach their breastfeeding goals by offering all-in-one products that breastfeeders can easily nurse and pump hands-free in. With their simple hands-free pumping design, breastfeeders don't have to worry about disrobing completely or putting on additional pumping straps or tops. All of Rumina's products are comfortable to wear all day and supportive. For busy, multitasking, breastfeeding moms like you, badass breastfeeding listeners can receive an exclusive 20% off discount on Rumina's Pump and Nurse Collection. 20% by visiting Rumina's website, pumpandnurse.com, and use promo code BB19. And these links and these promo codes can be found at badassbreastfeedingpodcast.com, along with all of our breastfeeding resources, all of our other episodes, and information about scheduling your lactation consultation, your very own personal consultation with Diane over there.
With me. It's very fun. We'll have a lot of fun. So one of the things that I want everybody to realize is what is normal, right? Like, or typically, like, in normal with, you know, I'm doing air quotes, by the way. I know nobody can see me, but I'm doing air quotes. So when I have a mother that will be on day 4 or day 5, like this mom that I had this week, who said to me, you know, I was told to pump, I'm only getting 1 ounce.
Yeah. That's a lot.
Why would we need more than that? I don't expect a new mother on day 4 or 5 to get 5 ounces of milk. I really don't expect anybody to get that much. But
anybody to get five right. ounces. Oh, my God. Oh,
like
my gosh.
Your baby, especially your newborn baby, is not going to take 5 ounces of milk. So why would we need to pump that? Yes. You know, like we have these ideas in our head that of what milk supply is supposed to be. And that is not accurate at all. We should not have anything in our head about what milk supply is supposed to be, because your baby is your baby, and that's your body's going to do what's necessary for your baby. And you should not worry that, like, you're going to, I don't want anybody to think that they're supposed to be pumping a lot on, you know, and if they're not pumping a lot, that there must be something wrong with their milk supply. Their baby didn't gain their, you know, a ton of weight overnight, so there must be something wrong with their milk supply, or their milk's not in yet, there must be something wrong with their milk supply. None of that stuff is accurate. And we're looking at this from a bottle feeding culture. And that's
not accurate. That's the thing too, but the bottles, you could hook the bottles up to the pump and the bottle holds what?
Like 8 ounces
or something.
6 ounces,
yeah. And it's like, oh my God, my milk is just gathering on the bottom of the bottle. That's not a lot. I don't know why they hold that much.
Right.
Because why does a bottle need to hold 6 ounces of milk? No, at no time would you be feeding 6 ounces of breast milk.
I had a dad this week ask me again. It was like day three of the baby's life. Well, when can we just fill a bottle so I can feed the baby? I'm sorry to say I ignored him. But it's like, normally that's not my way. But I was trying to focus on the mom and the baby and getting this baby latched and all that stuff. Because she was a little bit, you know, the baby was a little bit feisty. But, and he did fine, by the way. So if anybody's, you know, the end of that story is fine. But that was, you know, people get it in their head like, oh my God, the baby's still losing. What do we need to do? And that was this particular family, because that baby came in. It was their first visit. The baby was like 4 days old and he was still going down. But her milk was legit just starting to come in that morning. And the dad was just like, but the baby's still losing weight. When can we just fill a bottle so I know what he's getting?
Oh, yeah. That's the other thing about breastfeeding, is that you can't see it. And we're so focused on being able to see how much they're getting. Mm-hmm. It's hard for us to trust our bodies, right? It's hard for us to trust that our body... This is the whole story of today.
Yeah.
We don't trust our bodies. Nobody trusts our bodies. And we're being told not to trust our bodies. That, you know, nobody questions the fact that your body is growing your baby when it's inside. We're just like, okay, here's what's going on. Here's the next checkup. Now they're this big. Now they're this big. Now they're this big. And then suddenly the baby's out and it's like, oh, whoa, whoa. You're not, whoa, things are all wrong.
Right.
Your body's not, you know, your body's not making milk, you know, it's not coming in fast enough, and there's all these things wrong. It's like, what just happened? Why would my body start suddenly making mistakes right now?
And when you are...
Your body knows what to do. Your body makes colostrum, drops of milk, because that's all your baby can handle. And when your body thinks your baby can start handling more, it starts making more milk. When you don't have to do anything.
Right. When your baby starts to wake up day two, day three, and they start to get the hang of it and they're starting to nurse more frequently and cluster feed, that is when your body's like, okay, here's our demand. Now we need this mm-hmm. milk. Like it is the relationship between the baby and your body that is telling your body what it needs. Yeah. And when you are pregnant, I mean, that is such a great point, because when you are pregnant, like every little thing that goes wrong, you're really sick. They're like, your doctor's like, everything is fine. This is normal. Your baby's still developing fine, even though you're throwing up every 15 minutes. You know, like you get into a car accident. Ugh, you know, but it happens. I've had that happen with some moms. Oh, the baby's fine. We do an ultrasound. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Any worry you have, the baby's fine. You know, the baby sounds fine. The baby's growing great. Don't worry. Don't worry. And then your baby's born. And everybody's like, oh my God, they're falling apart at the seams. Like, well, this is crazy. You know,
right.
Like,
and even when you're pregnant and there are things wrong, because there's worries, there's concerns that something's going on. People are like, okay, well, we're going to do this. Now we're going to do that. And with breastfeeding, it's like, just give them formula.
Right.
It's not important anymore. Like when the baby's inside of you, it's like everybody's like, whoa, all hands on deck. Something's going wrong. Let's figure this out. We got to help. We got to fix this.
Right.
And then baby comes out, breastfeeding, you know, we think breastfeeding's going wrong because we're all panicked and everybody's giving you all this terrible information. Then it's like, well, whatever. Here's a bottle of formula. It's okay. It's all right, you know,
or it's,
you can just give formula. You can just, this is a, like you said, it's a physiological path that your body's on. This is this is just a continuation of the pregnancy. Mm-hmm. Your baby's now just, they're just doing it from the other side now.
It is.
You know, there should be the exact same amount of support and resources to help people through this.
Right. And then, you know, and I hear all the time too, and it must be, I'm sure it's because I'm a lactation consultant, because I doubt people are saying this to their friends, right? That if they supplement or whatever, then they'll be like, no, I have nothing against formula. And I'm like, you don't need to, I'm never going to say to somebody, don't feed your baby. You know, like that is crazy. Right. And it's almost insulting to me that people think that lactation consultants are on board with, oh my gosh,
I know, you're right.
You know, the support is what we're talking about. The support and the education. And
the support for people who want to breastfeed. Right. That's who we're talking about. People who want to breastfeed. It's the Baddest Breastfeeding Podcast. It's for people who want to breastfeed, you know?
Right.
If you don't want to, that's cool. Fine. I'll hold, you know, I'll hold your baby while you fill the bottle. You know, I'm not, this is not...
And it's not judgmental.
Like
it's
you
not
said,
anything.
It has anything to do with it. It has to do with people who want to breast, because we get this all the time when we're trying to talk about, well, you know, I post things on the internet, you know. Well, not everybody can breastfeed. Okay. I'm not talking to the people who don't want to breastfeed.
But there are a lot of people out there that the second they pee on a stick, this is their plan.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And to be told on day three, sorry, not working. There's something wrong with you. That is devastating. And nobody considers what that does emotionally and physiologically to the mother and to the bond between the mother and the baby. Like, this is not just a choice that people make just willy-nilly.
Exactly.
Like, what should I have for dinner tonight? You know, like, it's not that kind of choice.
Breastfeeding, yeah, it's getting kind of hard. You know, nobody thinks that. Nobody is like, oh, this is kind of hard. I'll just do something else. It's always filled with anxiety and anguish and, you know, sadness and all of that. I mean, this is clearly what this person wants. This person clearly is coming to you and is asking for help and is having these problems. And honestly, a lot of times the problems are created from the outside with the bad information. My problems with my first was totally created by them.
Oh, yeah.
Everything was fine until they were like, oh, he's so hungry. He's 24 hours old. He needs a bottle.
Starving.
Like, if somebody had just said, like, it's okay, you're just making colostrum, you know, all he needs is a couple drops, just give your body a chance to get, you know, to get the, you know. If somebody had just said that, it would have been like, okay, just keep breastfeeding. You know, just keep him to the breast. Just keep him on the breast. Everything's fine. Then none of that would have happened. But they were like, oh my God, everything's, you know, he's hungry, giving me all this bad information, which created like a whole train wreck.
And they're making it sound
when
like
nothing was wrong.
Nothing was wrong.
With.
Right. And they're making it sound like it's like this whole, it's either your baby latches so that they can eat or they're like your baby, especially in the hospital, we've already established their stomach is super small. Yes, they need some fluid. Yes, they need some, you know, to be able to keep their blood sugars up and to do all that stuff and to poop and pee. They need very small volumes. The fussing, crying of babies in the hospital is more about wanting to be connected to their mother 24/7. And everybody thinks...
Babies cry, man.
And they...
Babies cry.
...were literally attached to your body 12 hours before this. So why would we think that all of a sudden, oh yeah, your baby's crying because they're hungry. That's why they're so upset. No, put them on the mother. Put them on their mother and they will be quiet and everybody will be happy. Like,
if you stop coming in here every 15 minutes and waking him up to poke him and prod him, maybe he would stop crying.
I had a nurse in the hospital once. She was a special care nurse. And I remember the baby was in special care and they were bringing him back to feed. And they were like, we think he's still hungry. We think he's still. And I'm like, why do you think that? Well, he's crying and sucking on a pacifier. I'm like, he's separated from his mother. That's what, you know, but the special care nurse was like, but he's crying. Well, that's not like the first line of defense for a baby.
Because he's in a box.
He's in a box away from his mother. That is why he's out of sorts. That is traumatizing for a baby. I don't know what is so hard about that for people to understand. Like, this traumatizing. And if you keep the baby with you, the baby looks like they want to eat all the time. They're sucking and they're fussing and they're crying and they're, you know, but they want to be with their mother. That is pretty much their comfort and their security level. That's what we want to enforce, and that's what we want to enrich with these babies, is that they are secure now that they are not attached to your body anymore. You still have to foster that development and that bond.
Yeah.
And just saying, oh, somebody else over here should hold them and give them a bottle is not going to do that. It's your baby is not starving to death on the first day of their life. They're just not. I'm sorry. I just don't believe it.
No, they're not. It's not. That's not happening. Mm-mm. That's science. Science.
Right.
And evolution and biology says they are not.
Right. So, you know, have a, you know, the best thing to remember here is like, you know, stimulation, talk to a lactation consultant, know what to expect, you know that your baby is going to lose that weight in the beginning, know that your body's going to take a couple days to recover and bring your milk in, and it's a process, but it's normal.
Yeah.
It's normal, and if you talk to any other mother, they'll tell you the same thing.
Yep.
And if you have questions, ask them, for sure.
Ask for the lactation consultant. If you're in a hospital, say, I want to see the lactation consultant.
You know, and you could even say, like, is this necessary? If they say, oh my gosh, your baby's starving, we need to supplement, is this really necessary? How much weight did he really lose? What do you expect him to gain? Call my pediatrician. You know, like, say all the things. But, and that's it. That's about all I got on that, my tangent of the day.
All right. See you next week.
Bye.